Let us turn our Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 57. Psalm 57. I have a lot of favorite psalms. This is one of mine right here. And we're going to begin reading right at the very beginning with the description at the beginning of the psalm. Notice in Psalm 57 it says, "To the chief musician, Eltasheth, Miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps, my soul is bowed down, and have digged a pit before me, into the midst thereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." Now, our text comes from verse 7 this morning. Notice again, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give glory." I want to preach on a decision with conviction. A decision with conviction. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I beg you this morning for the filling of the Holy Ghost of God, that as I preach, your word would go forth in power. If there's any here without Christ, may they clearly see their need for the Son of God and turn to Jesus Christ and be saved today. I pray, Heavenly Father, for believers. God, may our heart be fixed. May it be steadfast. May it be firmly planted, rooted in the ground for thee. No matter what the circumstances of earth may be, that we be what we ought to be for your honor and glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we do live in a day of great compromise, so much so that it just about affects every area of our society. Every day in the news, we hear from the different politicians, from the different parties. They're fighting one another. In order to get anything passed, somebody has to compromise here and there. And we all know that's always going to happen because that's been the way things have been for a long, long time. See, the prevailing mood seems to be today, well, if we disagree, we can talk about it. You give a little, I'll give a little. There isn't anything that we simply cannot compromise on. So we end up with a bunch of people standing on shifting ground because we're willing to give up just about everything. We live in a day when too many have the character of Reuben. You remember Reuben, the oldest son of Jacob. When Jacob goes to bless his children, he says of Reuben, he says, "My firstborn, my might, the excellency of my strength." And then he says, "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel." And unfortunately, there are a lot of people that have all the talent. They have an awful lot that they can do and that they can accomplish, but they are as unstable as water. As I said before, you can get people to hate you simply by believing what you believe so strongly that if anybody disagrees, they're wrong. Now, I know that sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? But I believe what I believe so strongly that if anybody believes differently, I believe they're wrong. If I felt differently about it, then I'd change to what I should believe, and then I'd be right again. You understand that? This doesn't have to be that difficult. You feel exactly the same way. And you practice exactly the same way. If you say, "Well, preacher, I believe you're wrong to feel that way," well, you feel right about thinking I'm wrong. Do you understand? And you expect everybody else to change if they don't think like you think. And yet that's not the way that it works, of course. In the writing of the passage, David gives us some clear teaching. He lets us know what was happening that brought about the production of this psalm, that God gave it to him. He was in the cave. Why was he in the cave? He was running from King Saul. Now, he had not done Saul any wrong at all. And yet King Saul was trying to kill David. And you remember one time in the cave when David was deep into the cave and Saul actually came into the cave with some of his soldiers and they decided to rest in the cave. Saul went to sleep. Some of David's soldiers wanted David to kill Saul there in the night. And he refused to do it. Now here's a man who had been a godly man. He was a godly man. Here was a man who had been loyal and faithful to the God of Israel. He had been loyal and faithful to the king of Israel, Saul. And here he was having to run around in exile, fearing for his life. And he writes Psalm 57 to give us an account of what was going on. Here he is, exiled and despised. So David proclaims, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory." You see, things weren't like he would like them to be. Things were not, oh, listen, millennials get a hold of this. For David, things were not fair. Did you get that? Things were not fair. David had only done right. And here he is in exile, fleeing for his life. And he says to God, "You're my strength. You're my shield. Amen. My heart is fixed. I will sing." You see, if you're one of those people, you can only praise God when things are going like you want them to go. You don't have much of a relationship with him. What we need are, we need people with a decision that is has behind it the conviction that here is where I stand and I am not turning from it. In Psalm 108, by the way, David will make a similar statement. In Psalm 108, David says in verse 1, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed." The interesting thing about that is in Psalm 108, David has just had a great victory. David made that same proclamation in victory that he made when it looked like almost sure defeat. "God, my heart is fixed." In this life, you have times of health and you have times when your health isn't so good. You have time when financially you may be prosperous and times where you don't know how you're going to pay the bills. I mean, things are going to change from day to day, from year to year. But you need to get settled your relationship with the God of heaven. "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed." Now, in this psalm, there are three areas of David's life where he said his heart was fixed. If you'll notice in verse 1, he said, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." So in the first area, it's where his trust was. He wasn't trusting in his wits. He wasn't trusting in his prowess as a general. He wasn't trusting anything. He wasn't trusting his men. He was simply trusting God. You say, "But it looks pretty bad for him right now." Didn't make any difference. He wasn't changing. I'm reminded of Job saying, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I believe God." See, because this earth is not the end. Amen. Man, we are here for such a short period of time, but eternity is forever. Back in 1971, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Thank God he's been with me through all this time. There have been some high times. There have been some low times. There have been some tough times. There have been some easy times. But all of these times come to pass. Come to an end, but eternity will be with him forever. Hallelujah. Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And then he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I mean, you can trust God. He'll take care of you. He'll meet what needs. You say, well, preacher, but everybody's got to die sometimes. What if I die young? As long as you know Christ as Savior, you go to heaven. I mean, that's why there's just some things you don't have to worry about. Man, I don't want to shock you with this, but you realize you are going to die. Everybody dies. And everybody dies because the scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, he declares, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because you've sinned, you're going to die. Now, God doesn't tell us when you're going to die. He says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27, 1. He says in James chapter 4, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, it's like blowing bubbles. I don't know if you like to do it, but I always enjoyed with the grandkids getting those bubbles, you know, and trying to make as many bubbles floating around at one time as you can make. I really like it. The Uetchies bought me for my birthday a big bubble wand. I mean, it makes big bubbles. I love those things. You know, if you get a bunch of bubbles going out there, they don't all pop at the same time. Some pop real quick. Some fly around for really quite a while. And it's interesting to watch some of them take off up there and they go for a while. And then you've got some that, you know, they're just kind of half and half. It's just fun. It's fun to watch the dog go after the bubbles and then look at the dog's face when it pops one and can't figure out what happened to it. Why I couldn't bite into it. I love bubbles. Big part of my life, bubbles. But that we know, I know when I create them that it's going to pop. I just don't know when. Listen, you came into the world, you had life. The only thing you didn't know is when that life's going to end. Now you've made it thus far, but you've got no guarantee of tomorrow. And the Bible says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The Word of God gives us a lot of warnings. He says in the scripture, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Dear friend, if you want to go to heaven when you die, you must have a time when you take Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you don't do that, hell is what awaits. You see, that's life. God tells us. Well, I don't see how God can allow that. Listen, don't blame God for our sin. Our sin was our sin. The wages of sin is death. God loved us so much, he put his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary to die in our place. Think of Jesus, the one who is without blemish and without spot. The one in whom is absolutely no sin, never thought a bad thought, never said a bad word, never did a bad deed, never had a wrong motive one time. The sinless, perfect, without blemish Son of God, dying on the cross. Why? He had no sin. Because on the cross, God took all of Mike Allison's sins and he placed them on his Son. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. God took all your sin and he placed it on his Son on the cross. Now he had to die because he had our sin upon him. He died, he was buried, and 3 days later, Christ arose from the dead. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message, that he died for your sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Back in 1971, I mean, being brought up in a home of drinking, cursing, and all that kind of stuff, didn't know anything about God. I was working at a radio station. I had started attending the local Baptist church just so I could play softball with their church team. And I heard the gospel for the first time in my life. At the radio station a few weeks later, I put my faith and trust in Christ as my Savior. And I've been saved all this time. I am saved forever because when He saved me, He gave me everlasting life. And you can have the same thing. If you've not been born again, you need to get that settled. But you see, I can trust Him with every other area of my life as well. I mean, how could I not trust God with my future when I've trusted Him with my eternal soul? Amen. God takes care of His people. You can count on it. Matter of fact, the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, He doesn't say He's going to give you $1 million, $2 million, $1 billion. Today's billionaire is what a millionaire used to be. You understand that? Those of you who've been around for a while. Matter of fact, nobody talked about being a billionaire back 40 years ago. Now, though, there's billionaires all over the planet, people that you've never heard of. It's amazing. And a millionaire is just middle class, which means I'm living in the ghetto. I'm just saying. But you know, it's funny. I still can't lose weight. Is food cheaper than it used to be? How is God feeding me? I don't know. But He feeds the sparrows. Feeds me pretty well too. I'm not going to tell you how much I weigh. Some of you are waiting for me to blurt it out there. None of your business. Here's David. He's running from his enemies. You remember later on, by the way, his son Absalom's going to run him out of the kingdom. And as he is leaving the kingdom with some of his own men with him, there's a man by the name of Shimei that comes out, and he begins cursing David. Well, one of his generals, Joab's brother, comes over and he says, let me go over and take off that dead dog's head. He's cursing the king. And David says this, "Don't I know I'm king?" He says, "What if God told him to curse David? Should I have him put to death for doing what God told him to do?" And so he didn't allow the man to harm him in any way. You know what David was saying? Maybe I needed a good cussing and God knew it. Well, that's not fair. I mean, David hadn't done anything wrong to Shimei. David hadn't been wrong at all. This man is cursing the Lord's anointed. Yeah, and you're going to have people curse you too. You're going to have people not like you. You're going to have people talk about you. Grow up, get over it. And realize that God knows what you need. By the way, He also knows what you want. Sometimes what you want would just bring about your demise and your destruction. So thank God He doesn't always give you what you want. When it comes to our finances, we can trust Him. I can trust God in my giving. I can trust God at all the time. My heart is fixed. Lord, I'll trust You. If I've got some money, praise God. If I don't have any, I'm still going to trust You. God, You can take care of me. The day God can't take care of me, it's time to go home anyway. He says, "Lord, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed, oh God. I will sing and give praise when I feel like it." No. I will sing. My heart's fixed. God's going to get praise regardless of what's going on. Notice the second thing. His heart was fixed to do right. Even as we read at the beginning of the psalm, it was that time when Saul was in the cave with him. Few would have blamed David for killing Saul, but he didn't do it. See, his heart was fixed to do right. God's people need to get their hearts fixed just to do right. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:2, He says, "Required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Faithful. You know, you don't have to be talented to be faithful. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of very talented people who are not faithful. They don't know how to be faithful. They know how to be faithful to God. Unfortunately, too many in this country do not know how to be faithful to their spouse, don't know how to be faithful to their children, don't know how to be faithful in their job, don't know how to be faithful to their church. be faithful. The reality is people are far more faithful to their ball teams today than they are to the house of God. And how sad is that? I've had people say, but preacher, I made a commitment to the ball team. Oh, you don't have any commitments to the Lord. That ball team die for you? Did that coach die for you? Did that ball team save you? Did that coach save you? Or did Jesus die for you and save you when you called upon him? It would seem to me that any born-again believer would want to be faithful to God first. Listen to Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You see, he was just settled. He was going to do right. Several years ago, I was driving up around Nashville, Tennessee, and there's a, at least, I don't know if it's still there or not, but there was a 50,000 watt radio station, WLAC. Anybody ever heard that station in Nashville? A couple of you have. And they were doing a call-in show. And it was amazing, but this one person that called in, they were talking about crime and about people, about these people that break into homes and steal from folks. And this one person called in and said, listen, they owe me a living. And he tried to explain why it should not be against the law for him to rob people. He felt he was justified in stealing from people, beating people up if necessary. He just felt that somehow he had it coming. And so I'm assuming that's what he did. Well, we got people in our society today that they think that it's all right for them to shoot the police. Or they think it's all right for them to cheat on their income tax. There are a lot of young people who think it's all right, and they deserve to be able to disobey their parents. I mean, it's amazing. There are people who got all kinds of excuses for why they don't go to church. Well, don't you know there are hypocrites in the church? Well, don't you know there were hypocrites at the Alabama game yesterday? There were even hypocrites at the Auburn game, but that didn't seem to stop them from filling the stands. There are hypocrites that go to Walmart. And there are hypocrites that go to Lowe's and Home Depot. There are hypocrites driving on the roads that you drove on to get here today. There are hypocrites in every neighborhood. Where do you live? I guarantee you there are hypocrites there. One preacher said, yes, we've got hypocrites in our church, but at least they come. What a shocker. I'm just saying, here's David. David decided that he said, Lord, my heart is fixed. I'm going to do right. I'm just going to do right. Bob Jones used to say, do right till the stars fall. Do right. That doesn't have to be that hard. You say, preacher, how do you know what right is today? Got a book right here. It tells you all about right. You obey God's word. That'll be right. Bible warns us that we're not to follow our own hearts. Bible says that we're to do right in his eyes, because there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So just do right. I think of Daniel and the three Hebrew children. Daniel chapter 1, it tells us that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile the king's meat. All right, then what God lays on your heart, you obey God. If God's laying it on your heart, it's going to be according to this book. Just do right. Now, this is revolutionary today, Brother Davison. Brother Davison preaches in the jails and the prisons all the time. And so he's no doubt met a bunch of people that have got a warped sense of right and wrong. But even those people who have a warped sense of right and wrong, what seems right to them, many are committed to it. But even there, unfortunately, there are too many that are not committed to even do what's right in their own eyes. How sad it is. By the way, Daniel later on was commanded not to pray, but he had already made a commitment to God to pray. And so when he found out the king passed a law that no one was to pray to their God, Daniel went home, opened up his window just like he always did, and looked toward heaven and prayed to his God. For that, they threw him in the den of lions. And God shut the mouth of the lions. They weren't hungry anymore when Daniel got there. God took care of that whole thing. God give his people hearts that are fixed on doing right. When it comes to the family, do right. I love it. People say, well, We're getting divorced for the kids. Liar. Liar. You may be getting divorced, but the kids, you're not doing it for them. Right. No, you don't understand, preacher. My situation is different. Everybody's is. Hey, why not stay married for the kids? Why not be a godly wife for the kids or a godly husband for the kids? I mean, you want to do something for the kids, do right. Number one, make sure they're saved. Make sure they go. You get them to a church where they give the gospel of Jesus Christ, where they can come and trust Christ as their Savior so that they can go to heaven when they do die. I'm just simply saying, do right. Make up your mind to do right. Thank God, America, when it was a great nation, was built up because we had a bunch of people who knew how to do right. They didn't have to get rich. They didn't have to get famous. They didn't have to be the number one podcaster in the United States. They simply worked jobs that they went to work, and they worked 8-10 hours a day. Came home dog tired, and the next day got up and did the same thing all over again. They just did right. They had some character. It used to be people worked to live. Today, people work to play. So they can get enough money to go out and just play and spend it and get into all kinds of mess. His heart was fixed to do right. Our hearts should be fixed to trust him. Our hearts should be fixed to do right. I like this one. Back to verse 7 again. Look at it. He says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. But preacher, I don't feel like it. And I feel like such a hypocrite to praise God when I don't feel it. Let me tell you what a hypocrite is. It's a person who says they're a Christian and don't praise God. Hey, you're going to heaven. You got reason to praise him. Amen. If you're saved, you've got salvation in Jesus Christ. You've got a great reason to praise him. Your sins have been forgiven. You belong to him, and one day you're going to spend an eternity with him in heaven. You got reason to praise him. Bible says, rejoice evermore. The Bible tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Praise him. I've had the blessing pastoring 45 plus years to see some dear saints of God whose bodies were racked with cancer and pain, who laying on that sick bed, when you walk into the room, they're saying, praise God. Praise the Lord. I remember a man by the name of Erland Thompson. I was pastoring in Manchester, Tennessee. Now, Brother Thompson, he was an older gentleman at this time, and he had these sores. I'm not sure if it was from diabetes or what, that came up on his leg. And I mean, they would just open up and it'd be a big sore like that that would just ooze and run pus. Now you say, preacher, we're getting ready to eat. Saving you some money today. Helping you with your diet. Believe me, I can't describe it as ugly as what it was. And they would try to graft in skin. So, you know, they'd take skin off another part of the body, put it on the sore that he would have, and most of the time it didn't take. So now he still had the big sore, the original sore. Now he had another one that was being made. He would be in a lot of pain. And I remember going out to the farm that they lived on, and I sat down with him. I said, how you doing today? He said, you know, Brother Allison, he said, I was just praising God. I said, well, good. And what were you praising God for? He said, you know, I just got to thinking of how much Jesus suffered on the cross of Calvary so that I could go to heaven. And I'm sure my suffering is nowhere close to what he suffered so that I could have eternal life. And he said, and I just got to praising God that I got to know a little bit of what real suffering is like. Hey, it almost sounds like the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. That's how much Paul wanted to know him. I want to know of his suffering. I want to be able to have that fellowship with the Son of God. In this passage, David had it rough. He was on the run. His life was in danger. His wealth was gone. His position was gone. And yet here he is. His heart was fixed. He was going to rejoice in the Lord. We complain all the time. Our favorite football team loses. Oh my, they were robbed. And that's all we can talk about, how our favorite football team was robbed. And how many games did your team win when the other team was robbed? Was your sense of justice so great you complained about that? No. And I remember the game, Wally. But anyway. It's amazing the things that we get mad at. How many remember the name Bobby Knight? Oh, Bobby Knight was the Indiana University basketball coach. Bobby Knight was known for when a call went bad, picking up chairs and hurling them across the basketball court. So angry because one of his players had a foul called on him that he didn't think the guy deserved it. Or one of his guys was called for a foul and they called it on him and he didn't think they deserved it. Oh, he would just get so angry. It's a game. Meanwhile, 1 million babies can be killed in their mother's womb in a year in this country. There's no outcry. There's not even a letter written one time. But we sure get upset when our favorite quarterback isn't playing the game of his life and my team loses. We've got a strange set of values, don't we? David says, I will sing and give praise. Several years ago, I read about a little old lady. She was entering a department store. And when she went in, that's several years ago now, and she went into the store, and when she walked past the cash register, I mean, confetti fell from the ceiling. The people that worked there all started clapping. This was years before the pandemic. People weren't wearing masks and stuff like that. I mean, they were going nuts. A band struck up. And boy, they're playing one of those rousing songs, you know. And they came up to her, and there was a TV camera there, and they said, you are the 1 millionth customer to the store. And they gave her a big check, and they gave her a bunch of gifts, and they got near the end of giving everything, and the television interviewer came up to her and said, so what were you coming in for today? And she said, well, actually, I was headed to the complaint department. That's us, man. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. I love stories about the old Cornish preacher, Billy Bray. Billy Bray never had much, but he was excited about God. Matter of fact, he said that his right foot would be amen, and his left foot would be praise the Lord. And he'd be walking down the street thinking, amen, praise the Lord, amen, praise the Lord, amen. And he just witnessed for God all the time. He was just always praising the Lord. And he said one day he was getting his potatoes in. And while he was getting his potatoes in, he said, it seemed to be kind of a small crop. And the potatoes weren't very big. And he said, the devil came up on my shoulder and said, Billy Bray, see there? Look at your potatoes. Look how puny those potatoes are. Here you are serving God all the time. And God, all he gives you are these puny little potatoes. He said, I turned around to the devil and I said, shut up, devil. When I served you, I didn't get any potatoes at all. Praise God. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Yeah, we are to praise him. And here's David. He's running. He's in exile. He's in poverty. Has no power now. He could die at any moment, it seems. He says, Lord, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed, O Lord. I will sing and give praise. Even in my glory. He's worthy today to be praised. If you've not been saved, you come to Jesus. Hey, God's provided a salvation for you, but he'll not make you take it. You have to take it yourself. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Come to Jesus, he'll save you. That's the beginning, really, of a life of praise, accepting the Son of God. And then you ought to be steadfast and simply just do right. Just do right. Just do right according to God's word. And have on your lips the sound of praise to our God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Dear God, deal with hearts today. If there's one here without Jesus Christ as their Savior, may they come to the Son of God and be born again today, I pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for believers. Lord, so much going on, so much to complain about. And Lord, it's easy for us to find a lot to complain about when we ought to be looking for all that we've got to praise God for. God, convict us of our ungrateful hearts. And may we leave here today with our hearts steadfast on praising you. Have your way in our lives today, for I beg it in Jesus' name.